Okay. Let's continue.
It's continuing. All right, where did we leave off? Oh, so it was the Holy Spirit that they lied to, okay? Not God. Third, he is made...
All right, so what makes the difference? Why are they lying to the Holy Spirit there when they're talking to man? As opposed to, like, if I were to sit here and lie to you, you possess the Holy Spirit as well.
Right.
So... Oh, is it because they're giving to God? Is that
yeah? I mean, and who is within them? The Spirit of God,
right? Right? If I lied, you possess God, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Wouldn't I be doing the same sin? That
yeah, but I think what Peter is getting across here, the Holy Spirit is God, and because the Holy Spirit dwells within you as a believer, you know, you're grieving Him because you're lying. He's God.
Right, but I'm not going to fall down dead.
Well, no, I think, again, severe punishment. Severe.
Right.
But when you look at the beginning, like when Israel started as a nation, right? Severe punishment.
Right.
Here, the church is in its infant stage, right? And this could have gotten out of hand.
So God wanted to make his point.
I think so. That's my opinion.
He's done that a lot, though, so
yeah.
I guess I should be surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
I'm thinking about it.
Good question.
All right.
Good. I am thankful that God doesn't strike us dead whenever we lie, because we probably would all be dead. Okay?
Oh, man.
He is made equal with God the Father and God the Son in the baptismal experience of Christ, Matthew 3, right? The Father spoke, the Holy Spirit descended, and Jesus was being baptized. So we see a Trinitarian passage there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
As declared by Jesus in the upper room. This is a good verse. Well, they're all good. Look at John 14:16. I think I might have shared this with you one time in this class, but for those who weren't in the class, John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you," notice that word, "another," okay? "Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Well, first off, this is a Trinitarian passage. Who's speaking? Jesus, he'll pray to who? The Father, and he'll give you a comforter. But notice the word another, okay? That word in the Greek is very particular. It means another of the same kind, okay? Just like me. How is the Holy Spirit just like Jesus? He's God.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, it's another of the same kind. Okay? So he was declared on the Mount of Olives, right? Baptized people in the name of the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? And declared by Paul and declared by Peter. You know, these Trinitarian passages, okay? These are important to remember when the Jehovah Witnesses knock on your door or the Mormons knock on your door. These are good passages to have, especially John 14:16. Don't be afraid to be a little bold with the Jehovah Witnesses and say, "Can you explain to me the Greek in John 14:16?" I said, and say to them, "I can explain it to you." You know what that word "another" means? Another of the same kind. How do you interpret that? You know, and of course, because they don't believe that Jesus is God.
Right.
Okay. So, all right. So, number three, what are emblems or symbols of the Holy Spirit? And what can we learn about his person from these emblems and symbols? Okay. Clothing. Proper apparel, right? And why would a proper apparel be a symbol of the Holy Spirit?
Well,
Modesty?
No. Think about the parable of the, I think that's the wedding, having the wedding garment on.
Yeah.
So what would be
put on,
right? Put on the Spirit. Make no provision for the flesh. Whose righteousness are we clothed in? Christ's righteousness, right? Put on this and make no provision for the flesh. So at time, clothing, you know, purple robes and the high priestly gowns and all of this. And especially for us, the white garments, okay? So, you know, these garments that we are putting on, we're putting on, you know, because the Spirit dwells within us, okay? And of course, what's the whole armor of God? You know, put it on. Put on the whole armor of God. Put each piece on with prayer, we sing. A dove. A dove is a symbol. We see that especially in the baptism of the Lord Jesus, right? What do we know about doves? It's a symbol of purity and innocence, okay? Doves are dependable, right? Well, Noah, what kind of bird did Noah send out? A dove, right? Came back. That of safety and rest in the hour of the storm, okay? And their sensitivity to sin, the fact that the Holy Spirit is often described as grieving over the transgression of sinners. Okay, and the fact that on occasion sinners are depicted as mourning over their transgressions as doves. What do doves sound like?
Mourning. Yeah.
You know, they sound mournful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cooing back and forth, right? Don't doves also mate for life,
yes,
right? You know, so you know, and there's a lot of things that. You know, and again, symbolism. And be careful with symbolism. If the Bible clearly gives a symbol, it's a symbol. Okay? But not everything in the Bible is a symbol. Okay? But some things are. And this is one. Now, here's an interesting thing. Martha.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 1. 22, then have Steve read the same book, but chapter 5 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 1, 22.
Who had also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit of our in our hearts.
Okay, now let's just read this first, and then we'll talk about it. We'll talk about sealing later, but we're going to talk about the earnest, what that means, okay? Think about that. Now, 5:5, Steve, 2 Corinthians 5:5.
Now, he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, which also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit.
Okay. And Ephesians 1:14, the Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So three times this word is used to describe the Holy Spirit. And what is an earnest? A deposit, a pledge, right? The Greek word is erebon, my pastor's name was Ernie Brody, but his son was Ernie Brody too, and I used to call him, "Hey, Pastor Erebone, how are you?" You know, but it's an earnest, it's a down payment. An earnest is the first installment on something whereby a part of the total purchase price is paid for in advance, carrying with it the pledge that at a future date the entire amount would be forthcoming. The earnest mentioned in the above verses may be the blood of Christ, or perhaps the very presence of the Holy Spirit himself. A man securing an object by earnest money can eventually react in one of four ways. Okay, and of course, we know he can decide he doesn't want it. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He can conclude he can't afford it. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He can unintentionally forget about it. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. But he can keep it, his word, and secure it. And this is what the Holy Spirit does, right? So the fact that you and I have the Holy Spirit within us is God's pledge that he which hath begun a good work in you will what?
Finish it.
Complete it. So even though I am saved right now, soul and spirit, and I have this down payment, this pledge, this promise God gave me, and it's his spirit, one day this body will also be saved at the rapture, at the resurrection of the church, and will be like Jesus, like we learned about a couple of weeks ago, right? His resurrection guarantees our resurrection, okay? And what is the guarantee that we have that's going to happen? The Holy Spirit, okay? So he's our earnest, okay? Understand that? Good? All right. Letter D. We'll end with this one tonight. He's often depicted as fire, right? The Holy Spirit, Jesus will baptize you with fire, right? And Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God came upon them, cloven tongues of fire over their head. This symbol suggests any number of ministries of the Holy Spirit. Of course, one of judgment, right? A lot of times when God would call down judgment on a city, what fell on Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone, right? So a lot of times it's judgment. Purification, right?
Going to go to heaven. He's going to burn
it up.
Fire and whatever.
Right? And when Isaiah was talking about, you know, woe is me, you know, a coal was taken off the fire and put on his lips, right? That of guidance. What guided the children of Israel through the desert?
Fire.
The pillar of fire, right? And that of acceptance. The fire of God's approval fell upon and consumed the sacrifices. Right? When we look at some of these sacrifices that people offered, what fell from heaven? The fire of God.
Yeah.
Right? Cleansing. That's one I was thinking of with Isaiah. Special empowering. You know, the Spirit came upon them and they were empowered. Protection. How did the fire protect Israel?
The pillar moved behind Israel to prevent the Egyptians from overtaking them.
Yeah.
Crossroads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And that of God's, and this is the best thing, God's glorious presence. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And this is all a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth for us to know, you know. We'll pick up here. What was that?
The protection of Elisha is my favorite one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny, but not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know, Elijah is Elijah and Elisha, both great people, you know, and did mighty things for God, and thankful for both of their ministries. So next week no class, but when we come back in 2 weeks, we'll pick up right there, letter E. So read through page 526 and see the bold letters there that say the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. Stop there, okay? And we'll look at that, all right? Any thoughts, questions, comments? Remember your paper, Explain Regeneration and When It Takes Place, if you can. Again, use a couple of, besides this, you know, and the Bible, you know, use a source or two. And if you want to explain the difference between, you know, the Calvinist position and the Arminian position, that's fine. But I want to know your position too, okay? And whatever it is, you know, that's fine. But good?
Good.
Yeah.